PM.
Thank you, Katie. I'm going to follow up on some of the things Katie talked about, and Katie's highly involved in this project also, but there are a lot of other folks from across the Cotton Belt. This is a extension cotton specialist type project. We have folks from Randy Bowman, Oklahoma State, Dennis Delaney, Alabama, Hunter Frame, Virginia, Dan Frommey, Louisiana, Katie there in Lubbock, Bill Robertson in Arkansas, Keith Edmondson in North Carolina, and Bob Nichols with Cotton Incorporated. Katie did a really good job covering some of the deficiency symptoms and some of the things that we're observing. In South Texas, we're observing this more and more frequently, and we're hearing more and more about it across the entire Cotton Belt. And you also probably heard Hunter Frame discussing some of these issues. And one of the big things is we think that cotton varieties are playing into this to a large degree, and I'll show some information that from Southeast showing some of the fruiting of some of these cotton varieties. But we think that's one factor in it. We have much higher yielding varieties than we once did, so the demand is much higher than it previously was. And this slide here shows the bolls per acre. It's some stuff that Jared Whitaker and Guy Collins and Glenn Ritchie put together. So it's a list of the varieties across the top. Most of these are fairly full maturity varieties. But the one thing I want to point out with even these full maturity varieties, the green line is Delta Pine 555, which is one of the older varieties. It's a very full season variety, fruits up really slowly, and you can see that in that green line where it fruits up over a very long time period. But if you look at these other more modern varieties, which are now actually older varieties, but the more modern varieties, you can see how quickly these varieties fruit up, which puts a tremendous amount of demand on that potassium in a very short time frame. So as we have these higher yielding varieties, which is shown there in the graph on the left, yields have steadily increased over time. And then the graph in the lower right hand corner shows the amount of potassium and phosphorus and nitrogen that's being applied over time to our agricultural crops. And you can see that basically our phosphate and potassium have more or less been flat since about the 1980s in the amount that's been applied. So we're having higher demand, in many cases probably not fulfilling that demand by those plants. And this is something from New GIS, which is supported by IPNI, and this, you can go in and do this with multiple nutrients. This one is for potassium. Apologize for the quality of it, but to kind of summarize this, if you're in green, it shows that we're adding potassium or accumulating potassium over time. We're applying more than we're utilizing. If it's yellow, it's more or less neutral, but in that red or orange color, we're actually mining the potassium out of the soils. We're extracting more than we're applying. And you can see that's the case for the vast majority of the Cotton Belt based on these predictions. We also know that potassium can have a big impact on foliar disease and that plant's ability to tolerate disease. And in the lower part of that slide, that's one of our pictures from the Thrall, Texas, 120 pounds of K2O per acre. And then the treatment above that is 0 pounds K2O, and you can see the difference there in foliar disease in this given situation. So we've been conducting this trial since 2012 in South Texas, and we had it at a lot of site years there across that given time frame, usually three locations in the Blacklands of Texas, which is the soils we're on here in Dallas right now. And we can see that the current threshold there varies between 125 and 150, depending on your yield potential. So all the lines there to the left, and I realize it's a busy slide, you can see we're getting significant yield responses from the application of potassium as those parts per million go up. So it's the native soil potassium plus what was applied in our treatments, which were 40 all the way up to 160 pounds of potassium per acre. You see where we're getting into that, between the two red lines there, even above our current threshold levels. In many situations, we are getting responses to potassium applications too, similar to what Katie was showing, where she had high native potassium levels based on the Malic 3 extraction method, but was still getting responses to potassium. So this kind of exploded from a South Texas project into a belt-wide project. You know, when we did this, it seemed fairly straightforward. We were getting very consistent responses in Texas, South Texas, on heavy clay soils. And then we went to a belt-wide project, and the results have been much less consistent, similar to some of the things that Hunter showed earlier and some of the results that Katie showed. But these are the locations across the Cotton Belt. The yellow indicates new sites. So we had sites, all these locations in 2015. Between 2015 and 2016, we divided these up into multi-year sites, which was presented at the consultant session. And then today I'm going to present just the new sites. So we have, we're in the second year of going to new site locations across the Cotton Belt, and the second year of now the multi-site locations. And this will continue again in 2017. We did choose early maturing, early mid-maturing varieties, Delta Pine 1321 the first year, and then the Delta Pine 1522 V2XF in 2016. We'll continue with Delta Pine 1522 V2XF in 2017. Similar to Katie, took soil samples down to depth of 24 inches in increments of 6 inches, and then used Malic 3 extraction. All the samples came to Texas A&M Soil Forge water testing lab, so everything was run exactly the same for each of these locations. We did take a leaf K analysis, should be first bloom plus 2 weeks, lint yield, and fiber quality across all these locations. These were the treatments in 2015 and also 2016. Untreated, and we had broadcast incorporated at 40, 80, 120, 160, and then untreated again for the injected application at 40, 80, 120, 160. And then for Randy Norton's location in Arizona, he applied potassium sulfate. The rest of this is potassium chloride. And the injected application of double alt 15 is basically a diluted form of the double alt 60, potassium chloride also. The liquid application of the injected application was made, you know, 4 inches by 6 inches from the seed furrow, about 2 to 4 weeks from prior to planting, and then broadcast incorporated about 2 to 4 weeks before planting as well. And these are our soil test samples from the 2015 sites across the Cotton Belt, and you can see the green's 0 to 6 inch, yellow is 6 to 12, and then the white is 12 to 24 for the different locations. And much like Katie pointed out, you can see at most of these locations, we also see a decrease in potassium levels with depth. And the other thing with the threshold set here at 125, you can see we had many locations, one in Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi's kind of right on the bubble, Missouri, Arkansas kind of along the same lines, and then South Carolina and Virginia, in theory, would have been responsive to potassium applications. These are our 2016 sites. The color's a little bit different, but gives you an idea again of kind of where we were, both with depth and also across locations. So in particular, Texas, Williamson County, and Alabama should have been very responsive sites according to our current threshold. So moving into the results for these given locations, so I'm showing 2015 and 2016 data here. Again, these are new sites where we went in and put in these different treatments. And then the dotted line indicates a broadcast incorporated application. The solid line indicates an injected application. And then the location is grouped with each of those lines. So the first thing you notice here is in Texas, we have a very wide range of yields in South Texas. The other thing you can, you know, the general trend has been a fairly consistent response. As you increase the potassium level, we're generally getting an increase in yield there, especially at those two lower yielding situations. potassium seems to be quite responsive. And initially we saw some very substantial responses from the injected application. Those aren't panning out quite as consistently now that we've gotten a little bit further into this. And this is the Texas, Oklahoma, and Arizona, so include Katie and Randy Bowman's location, and then Randy Norton's location in 2015. So these are all irrigated locations. Again, you can see some of the somewhat erratic response to some degree between the different application methods. But basically, and Katie showed her data where she got some significant responses at some of those higher K levels, higher applications, especially with the injected, so that's Lubbock 2015. And then Randy Bowman in 2016 got some responses. Some of those responses were significant there also. But you look at Lubbock in 2016, a little bit of response there from the injected again at that highest rate. And then Arizona was more or less flat across both application methods. And these are the Delta regions in 2015. More of the general theme here is across that Delta region, with the exception of Tennessee, it was more or less a no response to the potassium applications. Tennessee, Tyson Raper's location, it was not significant, some of his treatments, but I guess you could say there's a general trend there for both the broadcast incorporated and also the injected. 2016 in the Delta region, Louisiana was flat. In Arkansas, Bill Robertson, you can see the injected application looks like it would be significant, but it did not pan out to be statistically significant. And then going into the eastern U.S., we have 2015 here. Alabama, which if you will recall, had a very low level of soil potassium based on the soil test level, but it was non-responsive to potassium applications, and it also had a very high yielding environment there. Virginia has been flat in 2015, and South Carolina was the same. And South Carolina K levels were also very much below threshold. In 2016, Alabama, again, pretty good yields. The soil part per million there, I think we're about 54 part per million even with depth, but again, it was a non-responsive site to potassium applications. And then Hunter Frame, similar to one of the environments he showed this morning, had a very challenging environment there, but he did get a significant yield response to potassium applications under those very stressed conditions. So in conclusion, despite the sites in the southeast and delta regions being at or below 125 part per million threshold, we had no consistent yield response to potassium applications. And then in the southwest locations, with less than 125 part per million, we did get significant responses in numerous years. But then on the flip side of it, we have what Katie has, where she has soils with very high K levels, and she's getting K response on the top end of that. So as Katie mentioned, I think there's a lot going on with soil testing and potassium that we have yet to understand. And probably a big part of that is also that plant soil interface that we don't understand too, and the fruiting structure of some of these more modern, higher yielding varieties. The other thing is in previous research, lint yield response has been more consistent in low moisture yield environments, and that's similar to what we've seen both in the southeast for Hunter Frame, in Virginia, and then also in Texas in those more stressed environments. And we're continuing with this research, working with Katie and Hunter and many of the other soil scientists, trying to do a mineralogy survey of the sites to better understand the exchangeable and non-exchangeable K. And then I think ultimately we're going to meet with the soil testing labs, hopefully across the Cotton Belt, and figure out what we need to do to these modify our current threshold levels, because it seems that something is not exactly right. We just don't know what's not right about it at this point in time. And I'd like to just recognize Cotton Incorporated, Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, IP&I, for their contributions to this project. Again, it's a huge project. and then Delta Pond donated the seed to conduct these trials. And that's it, Katie. Any questions? Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, and Randy Norton, I don't see him right now, but in Arizona, that's also where he's indicated they see the most prominent symptomology. Oh, there's Randy, sorry. Yeah, it seems that, in my opinion, and I'm just an agronomist, we're missing it on both extremes. Maybe we're right in the middle. You know, the recommendations may be, but there's something happened on both of those extremes that we don't seem to be capturing. Yeah, where there's water stress, yeah. Yes, we see it consistently in those the blackland soils, again, yeah. Under water stress situations in many cases. Yeah. Yeah, as a late season measurement, it would be a quantitative way to do it, which would help document this. We are taking, each location is taking notes, you know, on things that they're seeing, whether it's disease incidents or the foliar symptoms. I just haven't worked through all those locations yet to see what exactly is going on. Thanks.